welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. I have two very special guests with me today who have joined us before. They are Captains Patricia and George Hospodar. You probably know Pat and George from their successful Great Loop books. Their first was Reflection on America's Great Loop, and the second is The Great Loop Experience from Concept to Completion. Pat and George actually winter in the Keys, so I thought that they would be great guests to help teach the rest of us about what it's like to winter in the Keys. Before we get started with that topic, though, I do want to take a minute, as I usually do, to thank and also recognize our Admiral level sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. And as always, I encourage all of the loopers out there and the other listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. With that business out of the way, Pat and George, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Kim. Thanks for asking us.
Thanks for being here.
Sure, absolutely. Let's start. Just tell us a little bit about how you came to spend your winters in Marathon.
Well, actually, we've had a very long history with Marathon. We've been coming here since 1986 when we first visited here aboard a chartered sailboat and fell in love with the area so much that within a couple of years we owned two duplex homes here at one time, and we've been drawn back here ever since. Every time I had to leave to go back to my teaching career and back home to New Jersey, I would be crying as we drove over the bridges back because we just loved it here so much. So when we had a chance to, during our first loop in 2009 and 10, we wanted this to be our winter destination, and we were lucky to get in here to Banana Bay Marina, and this is going to be our seventh season back here. We're sitting here right now looking out at the beautiful Gulf of Mexico as we speak.
Well, those of us who are not sitting there looking at the Gulf of Mexico from the Keys are a little bit jealous by that statement, but fill us in on how the rest of us, current loopers or planners or wannabes, how do we experience the Keys? So if current loopers are kind of working their way south on the west side of Florida in the Gulf, what's the likely path that they're going to take to get to the Keys, and what's the first key that they're going to hit?
Well, if you're going to be heading down, the best way to come is that you're either going to leave probably from Naples, which is Gordon Pass, or out of Marco Island at Capri Pass. Depending on how fast your boat can run and how quickly you'd like to get down here, if it's about 110 miles from, statute miles, from the Naples area and about 100 miles from the Marco Island area down to Marathon. And probably the safest thing is to come to Marathon first before you start to try and get to any of the other islands. It's the easiest one to get to. If you wanted to make the trip in a day, you'd want to be able to run your boat at about 10 knots. And the trip would be basically to get by Capri Pass, which is Marco Island, and take the sea buoy a little bit wide on the sea buoy, and then head down to a light just south of Cape Romano Shoals. Once you're there, it's almost a straight line to Marathon, to the Intracoastal Waterway in the Marathon area. However, if you can't run that fast and you want to take 2 days, there is another way to come. Basically, you still come around the sea buoy by Capri Pass at Marco Island, and then you follow again down to the light south of Cape Romano Shoals. At that point, you would head southeast to Ponce de Leon Bay and Shark River. Now, Shark River is an excellent anchorage, very sheltered. However, if you go up the river, be aware you're definitely going to encounter a massive amount of mosquitoes once the sun goes down, so you want to have the boat pretty well tightened up. What a lot of people do is they will anchor at the mouth of the river where the mosquitoes are a bit less. One little note here that it may be a very inviting place to go for a swim, But there are alligators in the water, so I wouldn't do that.
One good advice.
Yeah, you don't want to swim with the alligators. It's not like swimming with dolphins.
No.
So, not at all. So once you would leave there the next day, you would then head south-southwest past Cape Sable and then south-southeast to Marathon again. One thing to look out for, as you travel south, you are going to encounter hundreds, if not possibly over 1,000 crab pots and lobster pots, those nasty little floats sticking out of the water. So you want to be aware of those. Once you are in the Keys and you're going to head back north, just a little side trip here, in the spring, most of those pots are gone by March 31st, because that's when lobster season ends, and there's not that many crab pots out there at that point. One little note here that you want to be careful of, the entire Florida Keys chain is all situated within the Florida Keys Marine Sanctuary. Be careful not to go aground here. If you should go aground and call CETO before somebody's going to come and get you, they then call the wildlife people, and they come out to see how much damage you did to the sea bottom, and you will be fined accordingly. So be very, very careful as you travel through these areas. Part of the time, you'll be traveling through the Everglades National Park. Same kind of rules apply. The one good thing about the Everglades National Park is there is no commercial fishing allowed in the park. And on your charts, you'll see everything very clearly marked as to where the park is and where the Florida sanctuary lies. Also, one thing is, in the spring, if you're heading north on the inside route, just be aware that between mile mark 1160 and 1145, the inside route shallows out to 5.5 feet at low tide. So just be aware of that. If you want, I could just give you a couple of quick anchorages, if that you might want to hear about some of those.
Definitely. Before you do the anchorages, though, George, I have a quick question about what you were just mentioning about running aground and the possibility of fines for doing damage to the seafloor there. Are the charts, for the most part, accurate in the area? Do you recommend running at high tide? Is there any tips you have for avoiding having that issue?
No, you can run at any tide. The tides here are not very extreme. They're probably a foot, foot and a half, something like that.
Okay.
And the charts are very accurate.
Okay.
You should be in deep water. You should be in bare minimum, 7 feet of water every place you go, and most places will be deeper than that.
Okay, perfect. Yes, anchorages, go ahead and share a few of those with us as well.
A couple things. Some of the anchorages that we like, if you are between Key West, let's talk about Key West. In Key West, there is an anchorage right in the harbor. It's a terrible place. Don't go to it. Don't find yourself in the marina because you're going to be rocked all over the place. It's a very popular spot, and I don't know why, because it's just a terrible place. But between Key West, about halfway between Key West and Marathon, on the ocean side, is Newfound Harbor. And if you take a look at your charts for Newfound Harbor and start looking around, you'll see various places where you can duck in and find a safe place. All the way up here in Marathon, in Boot Key Harbor, which is the only true safe harbor that I consider on all of the entire chain, there's a mooring field, which Pat will talk about a little bit in a little bit, and there's another very nice anchorage behind a golf course. Further on up at mile 1166.5 on the inside route is Matacumbe Bight. We've anchored there several times. It's very good holding in like a sandy bottom. Very, very nice. And then all the way up by Key Largo and Blackwater Sound, if you take a look at your charts, you'll see a couple of nice spots where you can drop the anchor and either protection from the north winds or from the east winds. So those are the major ones.
Running
outside is a pretty much a straight run. It's going to be deep all the way up. The only thing is that you can't really come in any place great if you're running outside until you're up by Biscayne Channel. That's where you would come in. There are other places. One other place you can come in, which is Channel 5. You come on the inside, but once you come in at Channel 5 and head north, you're going to run into some of those more shallow areas.
Outside is the ocean.
Yeah, well, outside being oceanside, of course.
Mm-hmm. Channel.
Well, all channel. Mm-hmm. Pat, do you want to talk about some of the things about the...
I'd just like to give you an overview of the Florida Keys. They're really an archipelago, which is an island chain, and it's made up of some 1,700 islands, of which only a 50 are approximately are inhabited. And it extends all the way from the Everglades near Biscayne Bay, the area about 15 miles south of Miami, all the way westbound to Key West, and then on to the uninhabited Dry Tortugas. Though the Keys in many ways resembles the Bahamas within climate and environment, however, we have the advantage of having a U.S. highway and 42 bridges, which link the largest and most populated of these islands together. So in other words, we can drive to paradise. With the third largest coral reef in the world, and it's the largest in the U.S., it has three national parks, five state parks, four national wildlife refuges, and three state aquatic reserves. It's a tropical paradise for fishermen, snorkelers, scuba divers, and boaters in beautiful American waters. At this point, I'd like to tell you about four special places here in the Keys that we recommend. The first, of course, mm-hmm. would be the most southern, which is Key West and Stock Island. Of course, the marinas in Key West, and I can give you several, are more expensive than you'll find as you travel, let's say, up the Keys. Monthly, on average, it's about $66 per foot, except if you go to Stock Island, which is also in Key West, the Stock Island Village. Monthly, those rates go down to about $30 to $35 per foot. Also, for those of you who have been in the military or are retired military, Boca Chica Naval Air Station is another spot which has a marina, especially for the military. Provisioning is there are lots of small stores in the downtown area, large supermarkets, marine hardware store, Western Marine. There's bus transportation and air transportation to Key West. And, of course, some of the famous points of interest are Sloppy Joe's Bar, seeing the buskers, in other words, the street entertainers at Mallory Square at sunset. On Duval Street, there are many shops and bars. Visiting the Maritime and Shipwreck Museums, the aquarium, taking the Contour train around town, the Hamilton Way home, President Harry Truman's little White House and Truman Annex, and of course, everyone wants to visit or have their picture taken at the southernmost point, which is a spot that's at the closest to Cuba and 90 miles away. Obviously, there's a lot of art and theater in Key West, and the Boca Chica Air Show will be coming up again this year, which is something not to be missed if you're in the area.
I do want to mention, Pat, I'm sorry, before we leave Key West, I just do want to mention, you talked about Stock Island Marina, and I do want to say that they are an AGLCA sponsor, so we certainly encourage you to visit them if you can while you're in Key West.
And I believe there are a lot that are doing just that right now. I'm curious. Little Palm Island Resort is a special spot that I love. It's on Newfound Harbor, which is in the Bahia Honda area, where the Bahia Honda Bridge is in that area. It's a special spot because it's a tiny private island. You can only get there by seaplane or boat, although you can anchor nearby, and there are no phones, no TVs, no alarm clocks. You can dock for free while dining. However, if you want to dock there overnight, it's extremely expensive. It was originally called Munson Island, and it was a retreat for President Truman, John Foster Dulles, and the movie PT-109 was filmed here in 1962. If you ever want a special evening or a special lunch, that's the place to go. Moving on up the chain, we come to Marathon. This is our spot. We're here at Banana Bay Resort and Marina on the Gulf side. We found it to be very convenient because all the shopping is very close by. It's a central location. And then actually, it's on Vaca Key, but the city of Marathon actually encompasses 13 islands. And, of course, the name goes back to the building of the Florida East Coast Railroad through the Keys because it became such a marathon building it, so the name stuck. At any rate, some special places that we have for you or things that go on here in Marathon are the Celtic Festival is going to be there this weekend, and Marathon is also famous for its seafood festival, which attracts about 30,000 visitors, and it's usually held in March. There's the Turtle Hospital, the Dolphin Research Center, Pigeon Key Preservation Area, Crane Point Museum and Nature Center, the Sombrero Beach. The Christmas Boat Parade goes on here in December. We also have a cruiser's net on Channel 68, which is similar to what you would have in the Bahamas. And if you tune in there every morning at 9 a.m., if you are checking into the town or you are leaving, they make announcements. There are hints about a lot of things that go on in the Gookie Harbor community. We also have the Pigeon Key Art Festival, the pig races here that raise money for the local community center, which is a big fundraiser. And we have breakfast on Sunday mornings at the American Legion, which they put out a wonderful breakfast. They're fabulous places to eat. And of course, we have our own AGLC Sunset Celebration, which it will be our seventh year arranging that. And I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Right. And also in Marathon, we have another sponsor there. Marathon Boatyard Marine Center is an AGLCA sponsor as well.
Yes. Okay. Moving on north, the next place would be Isla Mirada Tavernier area. Again, their marinas, the big marina on the Gulf side is Plantation Yacht Harbor Marina. On the ocean side would be Postcard Inn at Holiday Isle Resort and Treasure Harbor Marina. They have a bluegrass festival every year, a big boat show in February, and this is close to Theater of the Sea, which is a place that often offers dolphin shows and all sorts of shows featuring fish and wildlife. The famous restaurant here is the Green Turtle Inn, Isla Mirada Fish Company, Mirada Bay, and this whole area is a wealth of art galleries, boutiques. Worldwide Sportsman is located here with Ernest Hemingway's boat right in the showroom, and the History of Diving Museum. So this, again, provisioning is by, but you'd probably want to have a vehicle in that area. And moving on up, the next big area is Key Largo. Again, marinas on the ocean side are Pilot House Marina, Marina Del Mar at Key Largo Resort, and marinas on the Gulf side would be Anchorage Resort and Yacht Harbor, Gilbert's Resort, Holiday Inn Marina, and Pilot House Marina. And this whole area is famous for its Everglades boat tours, canoeing, kayaking, all that sort of thing. And famous restaurants and bars are the Caribbean Club, where Key Largo, the famous movie, was supposed to have been made, but actually was made on a soundstage. However, they keep up that tradition. John Pennekamp State Park is here. Mrs. Mac's Kitchens number 1 and 2, Snook's Bayside, Sundowner's Restaurant and Bayside Grill are very well-known eateries in that area. Now let's put it back to George.
Okay. One more question for you, Pat, while we're talking about marinas, though. The third marina that's a sponsor of AGLCA in the Keys is actually Hawks Cay Marina, and they're on Duck Key. Is that actually considered part of the Marathon area?
It's really not part of Marathon. It's a little bit north of Marathon. It's on the ocean side. It's a gorgeous location, and it's someplace that, again, is a very special spot, a little bit pricier than others, but a beautiful location and a place to go for special dinners and that sort of thing.
Okay, perfect. And also, before we bring George back, I'm just going to pause for a second and play a brief message from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll hear from George again.
Curtis Stokes & Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in Great Loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of AGLCA at the Admiral level. If you're looking to buy or sell a Great Loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net, email curtisstokes@curtisstokes.net, or call 954-684-0218.
We're back talking with Pat Hospodar, and I think she's about to bring George back in. As most of you probably know, the Hospodars are the authors of Reflection on America's Great Loop and the Great Loop Experience from Concept to Completion. And we're chatting with them today about their winter home, which is the Florida Keys. So are we picking up with George now?
Yeah, I just got a couple of things here I'd like to mention.
Okay.
One more thing.
Perfect.
Marathon also is that in the harbor there, the city now runs a mooring field. There's 226 moorings. They can take boats up to 60 feet, and it's very reasonably priced. It's $300 a month. And so if you're looking for an inexpensive place to go, that's the place. However, they do not take reservations. So this time of the year, they sometimes fill up, and you may have to find a place to anchor and wait till a spot opens up. But that's just something that you may want to consider if you're looking for a low price. There's a lot of interesting things there, too, because they have a library there. They have an internet center there. You can even rent space out to do repairs that are inside a building. So it's kind of a nice thing, very sociable place. A lot of people, just like to go there. So let's see. Keys disease. I think you mentioned, I was talking about the Keys disease real briefly. The Keys disease down here in Marathon and in all of the Florida Keys is something that goes on around here that's highly contagious, although not stable. And it's the symptoms are that you get down here and you look at this beautiful water and the beautiful islands and the palm trees and all the various sea life and so on. And all of a sudden your list of jobs to do on your boat just kind of fade away. And you find yourself just hanging out, usually with an adult beverage in your hand, going snorkeling or something else. And that's the way you wind up spending your winter, and as you get near your time for departure, you realize that your list, your honeydew list, still exists. So it's very easy to get caught up in it, and almost everybody down here does. Everything down here goes considerably slower than you could ever imagine. We have a thing here called Marathon Midnight. Now, Marathon Midnight is 9 o'clock, because by 9 o'clock... most of the town is kind of rolled up. I mean, if you go to Key West goes all night. A Marathon closes up kind of early, except for about half a dozen bars. And usually by Marathon midnight, because you're out all day in the sun, you're pretty much shot. So it kind of works out pretty nice. And down here in the Keys, doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in Key West, you're in Marathon, you're Key Largo, sunset is celebrated every day. And it doesn't matter whether you can see the sun or not. That's completely irrelevant. Right around a half hour to an hour before the sun goes down, people tend to gather with an adult beverage in their hand and swap stories and socialize until the sun drops. It's something that goes on almost everywhere down here. You can always find somebody to hang out at sunset with. So we've been... go ahead.
Well, so for those of us who are wistfully wishing we were there and are working on planning on getting there, how far in advance, if you want to be at a marina and not an anchorage or a mooring field, how far in advance do you need to make reservations for this time of year in the Keys?
I would make them, this sounds crazy, but I'd make them now, at least 6 months in advance. Right now we're in Bonanza Bay, and it is a 35-slip marina, and we understand they have 60 people on the waiting list right now. Now,
wow.
You can definitely find places to pull in right now. It depends how much you want to pay for them. The reasonably priced places are going to fill up early. So I would, if you're starting your loop trip in, about the June time of the year or whatever, around June, you want to start making your inquiries down here, if not even sooner. I mean, you could call up right now and see about getting on one of the waiting lists for next season. It is that busy down here, and it literally fills up. So you'd want to definitely do that.
Okay.
What if I just turn this over to Pat now, if that'd be okay, and we could talk a little bit about our sunset celebration coming up.
Yes, I would love for you to cover that because that's become a real highlight event for wintering in the Keys for loopers.
Okay, here's our date. It's going to be Sunday, February 21st from 4 to 7, and it's going to be here at Banana Bay Resort and Marina. We're asking everyone to bring a beverage of choice, an appetizer to share. And Banana Bay Resort is going to be offering special rates for those staying at the resort on Sunday night. But I'll have a lot more information out on the forum in a week or so. We plan to have music, and Curtis Stokes will be a guest here. And we're going to ask Curtis to speak to us again, as he's done a number of times before, on the state of the boat sales market at 3 o'clock. So, and we have plans to have some other sponsors possibly here, too. We're in talks right now with some of them. So put it on your calendar, Sunday the 21st, and like I've said, the past 2 years, we started out in 2010 with 40 people, and the past 2 years, we've had 140 past 2 years. So I anticipate we'll have a big turnout again. So we
great.
Welcome everybody.
And this is something for those who have not heard about this event before, this is really something that George and Pat take upon themselves to plan for the benefit of everybody else. So it's really a special thing that you do that. And I know the loopers out there that have had the opportunity to attend and those that hope to attend in the future really appreciate that you've done that. So it's a great afternoon to get to spend with some other loopers and celebrate the sunset, as we now know we need to do every day in the Keys.
Kim, that means you too.
I am working on it. Yeah, it's and the timing is good. We spoke yesterday or the day before, I believe, and you were working it to be kind of shortly after the Miami Boat Show. So now I just have to find a good reason to stick around for that kind of week in between and find something to do. Something to busy myself in the Keys, maybe catch Keys disease during that week and see if I can stick around for the for the sunset celebration there. I would love to be there. So
we appreciate all you do. We really do.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We're actually out of time, but thank you both so much for spending the time with us again today. I know you've done it before, and you always provide lots of knowledge. We look forward to talking to you again soon. If any of the listeners are interested in Pat and George's books, you can get them actually by going to the greatloop.org website and visiting our store, and there's a link there that will take you directly to their page to order those books. So we encourage you to do that. Very informational books about the Great Loop. And there is also a wealth of information about everything related to the Great Loop on that greatloop.org website. So if you have any questions, visit there, and you can find contact information. information for the association itself as well. Thank you for joining us. We hope you all have a safe week of cruising, and we'll be back next week with another edition. Next week, we'll actually be talking with Captains Chris and Elise Caldwell of Captain Chris Yacht Services, and we'll be covering, if you're not going to spend the entire winter in the Keys, Chris and Elise will be talking about spending part of that time over in the Bahamas. So join us again next week for another episode. Until then, safe cruising.